This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. 7:17 in the morning, Tuesday the 19th of May. And we have quite a jam-packed day here for you, actually. And later on at 12:30, there's something very special happening.
Yeah, it's a webinar, the latest thing in the COVID-19 era. Everybody does it because, you know, we can't get together, but doesn't mean we can't do it online. So today's webinar is going to be about the MCO. Has MCO tanked your investments? Where do you go from here? So join Riggit and Sense presenter Roshan Karnason and of course our one and only BFM founder Malik Ali today. They're going to speak to financial planners on ways to manage the red in your portfolio and what your options are going forward. That's happening at 12:30 p.m. live on BFM's Facebook page. Catch it.
Catch it indeed. Now, in about half an hour as well, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute, to help us unpack what went down during yesterday's parliamentary sitting. But right now, we're taking a look at the subject of foreign direct investment to Malaysia, because recent developments like COVID-19 and the trade war between the US and China has made many companies realise they maybe need to move away from relying on China for its supply chain. So this was why countries like Vietnam and even Malaysia, to a lesser degree, were previously touted to be the beneficiaries of the trade war.
But just because Malaysia may be poised to benefit from these developments doesn't mean automatically we will, because the reality is that we still need to compete with countries in the region to attract foreign direct investments.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Carmelo Ferlito, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Carmelo. So in your opinion, how should Malaysia position itself as a business destination in order to benefit from companies looking to redirect their business out of China?
Good morning. First of all, Malaysia, of course, has always played a very important role in attracting FDIs because of a good institutional framework, good infrastructure, good education. Now I think that Malaysia can still play a role, but cannot simply rely on the good work that was done in the past, because the neighbor countries are becoming more aggressive. And I think that Malaysia needs to change radically its communication strategy toward foreigners and foreign business in this moment, if they want to take a chance of attracting FDIs.
But, you know, the question is COVID-19 has moved the trend from globalization to self-reliance, right? Because we did realize that global supply chains became disrupted. Now, isn't this trend actually negative for Malaysia, which has in the past been a net exporting nation?
It is definitely negative, and it is negative not only for Malaysia. I mean, international trade happens because it is beneficial for everyone participating in the game. Otherwise, we would not have that game. And Malaysia not only has been a typically exporting country, but Malaysia considered that relies for 70% of imported food. So Malaysia heavily depends on other countries also for basic needs like food. So Malaysia needs to be very careful in playing the autarkic game.
But in terms of policy around lockdown exit strategies, you know, how do you think Malaysia has fared in comparison to some of our regional peers?
Well, you mentioned exit strategies. I think that the strategy is probably the word that is more missing, that we feel more that is missing around the world, but also in the region with regard to the lockdown policies. Somehow we are going out, but I think that there are a lot of contradicting messages. While probably Thailand has been more effective in communicating a strategy, Indonesia is still in doubt on what to do. But surely in Malaysia, I think a certain degree of confusion is not helping.
But the question is, if we take an approach where we open for businesses without restrictions, right, which is something Thailand is maybe doing because they're looking at tourism, I think the concern is that there is a risk of a second wave of infections. And some would say that the economic consequences of this will be even greater than during the first wave.
I think that we have to be very realistic and look at the numbers. Most probably with reference to Southeast Asia, we even cannot talk seriously of a strong first wave of COVID-19. We should look beyond our belly and see what happened in Southeast Asia with COVID-19. We have in Southeast Asia something like 10% of the world population, but only 0.69% of the COVID-19 death. And the people that died of COVID-19 are 0.0003% of the population. So I think that we are not facing a real emergency. In countries like Malaysia, the medical system, the healthcare system is not under stress. So I think that we can risk a little bit more on that side, because the damages that are coming out of the lockdown are far greater than the damages brought in by the virus itself.
So, Camarlo, in a column that you wrote recently, you mentioned that a climate of confidence is key to attracting FDI. Could you illustrate how not just your policy, but policy communication plays a role in affecting business confidence, and how the government could potentially improve on this front?
This is a very important point, because it is not enough to tell to the companies that they can restart production. They need to be confident in restarting, but confidence is also important from the consumption side. If people are not confident to go and buy product, there is no point for the production to restart. We have seen in Malaysia, in example, some members of the government saying, okay, you can restart, go ahead, because we need you. And we had other member of the government say, listen, but if you don't comply as we are with our SOPs, we are going to fetch you, put you in jail, shut down your operations, and messages of this kind that brings businesses away. So I think that where we can improve what we should do is to have the Prime Minister probably take leadership on the communication, be the one in charge of mediating between the messages coming from different ministries. Because in this moment, what is really playing bad is the conflict between the messages coming from different ministries.
But the reality is that we do need some standard operating procedures, right? Because life cannot return back to normal. That's a fact. So how do you balance these two between, you know, you want to operate a business, but you want to also ensure some sort of healthcare standards?
Well, I'm not really sure that life cannot go back to normal, also because, again, so far COVID-19 in Malaysia has killed less people than the dengue fever, and the cases are much less than the dengue fever. So we should a little bit reconsider the narrative. But having said that, I think that the government in designing guidelines should design general guidelines, not two detailed guidelines, because doing business, the businesses are very different in realities, in size, in operations. And we should trust business people and business owners in using common sense. We should appeal to their common sense in order to do what is best for their company, but also for their people.
But Camarlo, we know that businesses always want to maximize profit, right? So they might just ignore whatever seems like common sense and not practice, I would say, physical distancing. And the point is, we did have very low death rates because our health ministry and our government was very strict in the initial days of the lockdown to really flatten that curve. So my concern is, if we take our eye off that ball and we allow a second wave and we don't have any SOPs, wouldn't the consequences be even greater?
First of all, I think that where Malaysia played well was not really in the lockdown, but in the fact that Malaysia has a very strong healthcare system compared to the regional standards. If you look at countries like Thailand, they had a much lower mortality, but with a much lighter lockdown. Philippines had a higher mortality, but with a much stronger lockdown. Indonesia and Singapore had the same mortality for a million people. So I don't think that is really the lockdown that played a difference. Again, I'm not saying that we should not adopt some SOPs, but these SOPs need to be general guidelines, not something, because if you try to find a solution that is applicable to every kind of business, then you become mad, because businesses are so different that a general universal solution doesn't exist. So given certain guidelines, then you should allow businesses to find their own way within these guidelines, and eventually try to control that businesses comply with these guidelines.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Carmelo. And that was Carmelo Ferlito of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Of the opinion there that considering Malaysia's performance so far in flattening the coronavirus pandemic curve, that we can afford to take a few more risks in perhaps restarting our economy.
Yeah, it's always going to be a challenge between balancing, the need to have an economy versus everyone's health. But I have a little bit of hesitation here, because I'm not sure businesses, unless you give them some SOPs, will know in the first place what to do. I think common sense is not that common, you know, sometimes. And what applies to me might not apply to you. I think we still need to have some general guidelines. Otherwise, I'm not sure whether even as a consumer, I will have that confidence to go out and shop, or go out and eat or buy something, you know, or be in that mall, unless I know that there's something specific.
Absolutely. And it's a very unenviable position that governments around the world are in right now, trying to balance, trying to navigate the space. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, you've got a highly infectious global pandemic. On the other hand, you have the threat of your economies stalling over the next 1 to 2 years. But right now, we have the 7:30 news bulletin coming up for you. Don't forget to vote on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter account. We're asking you which of our political coalitions seems more stable. Is it Perikatan Nasional? Is it Pakatan Harapan? Let us know what you think. Up next, we're speaking with Michael Shoebridge at the Australian Strategy Policy Institute on the latest developments between Australia and China. That's happening after the news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.